Today we're finishing John 2 with John 2 verses 23 to 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Just three verses to look at today in the book of John. In the passage right before this, which we looked at yesterday, with the Passover at hand, Jesus went into the temple in Jerusalem and drove out the money changers. And when the Jews questioned him, he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Meaning that the Jews are destroying the temple currently, with the ways that they are not worshiping God and just living for themselves. But he has, with zeal, come to clean it out, ultimately by laying down his life for us. Here in these last three verses of John 2, we are still in Jerusalem at the Passover feast. And it says, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. Note that when it says his name back then, a person's name captured that person's character and who he or she was. So these people were basically just believing in him when it says believing in his name. We don't know the exact signs or miracles that Jesus was doing during this time. So far in John, we've only read about Jesus turning water into wine in Cana. But he was performing signs at the Passover and people believed in him. Perhaps some believed that he was the Messiah. If so, probably many of them had different ideas of what being the Messiah meant. For example, in John 6 later on, after feeding the 5,000, the people wanted to make him king right on the spot. Perhaps other people believed that he was a great prophet like Elijah. Or maybe some even thought that he was the Son of God. However, the last two verses show that there was a measure of superficiality to their belief. Although the people were ready to entrust themselves in that moment to Jesus, Jesus did not entrust himself to them. What does that mean? I think to entrust yourself to somebody means giving up some control to that person in belief of that person's judgment or care. For example, I entrust myself to my doctor for my physical health, and I trust his medical advice. Jesus, though he no doubt loves the people who he sees in Jerusalem, does not give up some control to their judgment. Why? Because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Again, Jesus knew all people and himself knew what was in man. This is true in several ways. As God, Jesus knows all people because he created all people. Before coming to the earth in the flesh, he was at the Father's side and all creation was made through him. He no doubt knew about the fall of man at the Garden of Eden and all the sin of humanity, all the times the Israelites went astray from God. And he knew that everybody would keep going astray unless he came to the earth. As a man, Jesus also experienced what was in man. As we read last week, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, he lived almost 30 years before he began his public ministry. He grew up with his family, with his brothers and sisters. It's safe to say that he'd seen the worst sides of his family, as well as the worst sides of all the other people he interacted with regularly. In this passage, right before this one, he just saw the money changers charging high prices to make profit in the temple, in what was supposed to be the center of worship for the Jews. Jesus never gave into temptation when he was on earth, but he knew what it was like to be tempted. And he saw what happened when others gave into temptation, whether it was to give into anger or lying or other sins. So Jesus saw the sin in people clearly, which is why he did not entrust himself to them. If he did, some people might betray him, or they would drop when things got difficult, or they would, like mentioned before, try to make him king, to push an earthly agenda in hopes of benefiting themselves in the end. Yet Jesus knew what his hour had to look like. He knew that he had to go to the cross in order to truly help mankind. And so he stayed focused on that and did not let the crowds get in the way of that. How can we respond to this passage? I'll just offer a couple of responses. First, let's give praise to Jesus for how he lived on the earth, how he remained faithful and steadfast to his purpose, how he did not waver from heading to the cross instead of seeking an earthly kingship, which would have been so much easier. Second, let's seek to likewise discern God's ways instead of the world's ways. We have a much fuller picture of who Jesus is, that he is indeed the Son of God and our Savior, yet isn't it easy to not seek God's wisdom and give in to the world's wisdom? When faced with choices, how much does acceptance or acclaim from others influence what we do? When we are honest with ourselves, we can see how we are like the crowd in many ways in these verses, and wanting to just push our own agendas or have our own pictures of what the Messiah should look like. I'm reminded of how Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Let's commit ourselves to discerning and following God's ways above all else. Let me pray for us. Lord, we praise you. We praise you, Jesus, for your life on this earth, how you never went astray or gave into what the crowds wanted, but Lord, you denied yourself and you took up the cross so that we could be in a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that we would follow in your example. Help us to be more like you and less like the crowds in this passage, and help us to also be single-mindedly focused on you. We pray for your wisdom, and we pray for your spirit to help us to follow through in what you tell us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.